Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 12th of February, recording at 9:21 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly lower, modestly so in the majority of instances. The bigger decline was shown by the Nikkei, and that was down 3%. Australia rallied a little bit on the back of gold strength, which is not surprising. European stock markets were mostly in the minus column, and also, well, they seesawed a little bit, but closed with modest gains. A number of them in the 2% region. But the big story on stock markets was Wall Street, because it was down over 3% on the broader indices and then rallied towards the close, ending with the Dow down less than 7 points and the S&P up a fraction. And the NASDAQ up 3/4 of a point. So, interesting tales on the charts there. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, strong rally in bond futures around the world, with the exception of the U.S. Treasuries. And in currencies, the U.S. dollar was strong again, but has given up a lot of those gains now as the... as Wall Street picked up. More on that in a moment. Precious metals were steady in here today. Gold really did best, with the bullion currently trading at 947.5. Has been $5 higher. And again, platinum very, very steady. 1,084, although that's nearly $12 off the high. And what else? The industrial metals were all down with the exception of tin. The oil and natural gas contracts were also a little easier, as were most of the soft commodities. Okay. So what's going on here in terms of the big picture? Well, as you know, we've really got sort of a two-tier, if not three-tier, stock market structure here. And I'm really splitting hairs now, because all stock market indices are pretty well range-bound. The ones that aren't are the leaders, and certainly favorites of ours for this cycle. This recovery cycle, and that's China and also Brazil. And then we have a number of stock market indices which are just ranging straight sideways, and that includes a majority of them probably, and even among the U.S. indices, the NASDAQ qualifies in that category. And then we have the weaker ones, which are pretty much on the ropes still, and that includes the Dow and the S&P, Swiss SMI. But as I said, we had interesting tales on the charts in the U.S. indices here today. But they all have to do a lot more, to alleviate concerns of a major downward break. Now, I think what's interesting in noting is that you watch the financial television channels for just a moment, and you won't have to be there very long before one expert after another will come out and say that if Wall Street breaks below its November lows for more than a few days, or reaches a certain level slightly below those lows, that they expect another meltdown, basically. And there are very few bulls around. Now, anything's possible in markets, and we certainly have a news background which could perhaps justify those views. But we had such a big meltdown and panic from May well into October, actually early November last year, that even within one of the worst economic environments in living memory, if not beyond, it would be unusual to see another major meltdown. I know a lot of people are forecasting it, and you can't rule it out, least of all in this environment. But as I say, that would be unusual. And my expectation would be that it would go a bit lower, but not all that much lower. And why? Because a lot of those building blocks for recovery are in place, as I've mentioned over and over and over again. The low interest rates, the absence of inflation, the massive fiscal stimulus that's taken place, all that liquidity that's on the sidelines. The big missing ingredient, of course, is sentiment. And in terms of that bearish sentiment, one of the things that people seem most adamant about is that the government's only making it worse. I'm quoting people, of course. They say the government's only making matters worse, that bailout packages don't have any effect, that the Fed's pushing on a piece of string, and that the Obama stimulus package won't do any good. And, well, you've heard it all, I'm sure. Now, the thing about all these efforts, and not least regarding monetary policy, is it takes between 9 to 18 months before that stuff kicks in. So we're not going to see it in the economic data entrails. We're not going to see any positive benefits from that for quite a while. And we might get little minor improvements. Maybe we get a few fewer home foreclosures, that sort of thing. But we really have to wait a couple of more quarters before we start seeing the benefits of all those measures. So the nerve testing balancing act right now is, will investors keep their nerve long enough to look beyond the chasm of this severe recession and see some upside at the other end? Now, that's of course the big question here. In terms of chart action, what we really do need to see is both the Dow and the S&P move back above the little rally highs that we saw earlier this month and at the end of last month. That would put the Dow, which closed tonight at 7,932, the Dow would have to put on more than 500 points. We would have to get above that 8,500 level, in other words, to take the heat off that that November low. Now, if the Dow manages to do that, my feeling is that Brazil and China will extend their advances on the upside. Well, extend their advances, of course. They're in the leadership position. The point I've mentioned among bigger markets, the point I've also emphasized in here in terms of the Wall Street leash effect, is that if the U.S. market is just neutral, if it can just range sideways the way the NASDAQ has been doing, that would be a big improvement in terms of sentiment, or that would help to bring about a big improvement in terms of sentiment, because it would be far better, a far better performance than just about everybody's expecting. Now, so against that background, neutral Wall Street leash effect, we would see the creditor nations, the countries that are not in recession, that have just seen a sharp slowdown, they would move. And as I say, among the bigger economies, it would be China and Brazil leading the way. Now let's take the opposite extreme. What if Wall Street falls down sharply? Well, as most people appear to expect, well, there's no way China and Brazil can do it on the upside on their own. And the leash effect would certainly drag them down. But my guess is at this stage of the cycle that they would probably fall somewhat less, although I wouldn't risk my life on that forecast. In other words, I'm saying I don't think we're due for another major round of underperformance by emerging markets. All right. Looking elsewhere, long-dated government bonds certainly taking their cue from stock markets, as has been the case all along. And the recent nervousness in stock markets has helped to strengthen those bond prices in most countries. But as I mentioned in my introduction, they have not done as well in Europe. I beg your pardon, have not done as well in the United States, where there are greater concerns about the mountain of supply, at the moment at any rate. So I think that the market might want to see the color of the Fed's money in terms of its quantitative easing, and some backing to that the promise, threat, whatever you want to call it, that it would go in and buy its own government paper in quantity to keep those long-term interest rates down, and it will want to do that, not least for the housing market. Now, precious metals. This has been the best game in town here recently. An impressive orderly performance following the choppy, rangy action that we had seen earlier on. The silver chart is extraordinarily orderly at the moment. And we've seen the breakout, of course, in platinum this week. And we are poised for a breakout in palladium, I believe. Difficult one to trade, very wide spreads at palladium. And gold has broken decisively above the lost in its series of lower rally highs as it was coming down last year. And that's a big improvement technically, because there were a lot of people who were saying, well, I think maybe gold's topping out and so on. Not Fuller Money, not at Fuller Money, fortunately. So this all looks very good, but a point I want to make is that gold will respond, or what I'm really saying is investors' interest in gold will be influenced by a number of different factors. Sometimes it's inflation, sometimes it's moving in the opposite direction of the US dollar. It can be a fear of deflation. Well, it's really fear. Fear of deflation and another market meltdown that is behind precious metals at the moment. So, if we were to get a continued downward drift by global stock markets, I think there's a good chance that precious metals would extend their upward trends. Very good chance. Conversely, if somehow the bulls pull a rabbit out of the hat and squeeze all those bear shorts, and I think there are probably quite a few of them out there, who are just waiting for this downward break on Wall Street, having already established their positions. Maybe that's why we get so many of those bearish forecasts on CNBC and Bloomberg. But if those bears were squeezed and investors were emboldened to buy a little bit more, causing rallies back up to the range highs by these markets that are ranging, let alone the ones that are testing the November lows, were that to happen, I think precious metals would experience a reaction, and possibly quite a sharp one. As I say, it's fear that's driving those markets at the moment. And that's my biggest positions in my trading account by far are in the precious metals. And my biggest position is in platinum, my second biggest position is in silver, and my smallest position among the three is in gold. But I like them all. So, what else to mention here? Currencies. currencies. It's interesting. When stock markets weaken, it seems like a knee-jerk reaction. I've mentioned this before, that when stock markets weaken, we get the yen strengthening and we get the dollar strengthening on the basis that people are assuming that there's a further unwinding of carry trades taking place. And the yen and the dollar, of course, were the primary carry trade currencies before the world began to unravel. Now, as I say, it's become a sort of a knee-jerk reaction response. And then the moment Wall Street steadies up a little bit, then the yen weakens and the dollar sells off a bit. And my own feeling is that the dollar is not going to sustain its recent strength against very many currencies. I don't think the yen will either. But currencies are mostly range bound. We had lots and lots of ranging activity. So in terms of trading them, I think it's much more of a sort of a baby steps range trading game than anything else. We do get trends. We get some short, sharp trends. But for the most part, it's just ranging activity. And I'm playing this in terms of dollar shorts, and I'm using the euro. And people have said, "Oh, good heavens, why did you choose the euro? Look at Germany, not to mention Spain, Italy, Ireland." And well, one of the reasons I chose it was because the euro was weak, and as I say, these things range trade. But I will jump in and out of that fairly actively, as long as there's a little bit of volatility there. That's what I really require for this type of exercise. And last but not least, I did pick up a little bit more ArcelorMittal in here. When I know I didn't have any. I sold it all last Friday, as you may recall. But I picked up a little bit today, and I have more bids underneath the market. They did chop the dividend, by the way, so that yield is a lot less. It's just over 3% right now. The market took that decision fairly well, not least because there are an awful lot of dividend cuts taking place. But the dividend that remains is certainly very, very well covered. And I think that's pretty much it for another day, an interesting day. I hope lots of subscribers have been profiting from this run in precious metals. And if you have, you can just have your in-the-money stops, and you've basically got a free ride. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.